Welcome to another deep dive, and today we're taking a close look at the work of Maitar Garagordabil.
Ah, Garagordabil, a fascinating researcher.
Yeah, you know, a professor of psychology at the University in the Basque Country. And you sent me some really interesting papers by her. It looks like her research spans decades. I was impressed.
It is an impressive body of work, for sure.
Yeah, so we're going to dive in and explore some of her key findings together.
Sounds good. I'm ready when you are.
Okay, well, first, just to give everyone a little background, Garagordabil's work covers a wide range of topics: self-concept, self-esteem, psychopathology, social skills, personality. She even developed her own tool for assessing self-concept called the LAEA.
The LAEA, yes. The list of adjectives for the evaluation of self-concept. It's quite a well-known instrument in the field.
So when I first saw that name, list of adjectives, I have to admit, I thought, okay, how much can you really learn from just a list of adjectives?
Right. It sounds deceptively simple, doesn't it? But the LAEA is actually very well constructed. Garagordabil really emphasized the psychometric properties, you know, making sure it was reliable and valid.
So she made sure it actually measured what it was supposed to measure. That's crucial.
Absolutely. And she used it in a lot of her research, which brings us to some of her key findings.
Okay, so what kind of insights did she glean from using the LAEA and her other research methods?
Well, one of the things that really stands out is the strong link between high self-concept and self-esteem and a whole host of positive outcomes.
Like what? What kind of positive outcomes?
Things like cooperation, strong social skills, even happiness.
Wow. It seems almost intuitive, but to see it backed up by research is really interesting.
Right. It's like a positive feedback loop. The better you feel about yourself, the better you're able to engage with the world and build those positive connections, which then further enhances your self-concept and self-esteem.
Yeah, that makes sense. But I imagine the opposite is true as well.
Unfortunately, yes. Low self-concept and low self-esteem are associated with some less desirable outcomes. Her research shows connections to things like cytopathology and behavioral problems.
So it's not just about feeling good. It's about potentially preventing more serious issues.
That's a key takeaway. It really makes you think about the importance of fostering self-concept and self-esteem early on as a way to potentially prevent some of these issues down the road.
That's a fascinating thought. Okay, so she looked at this connection between self-concept and positive outcomes, and then she didn't shy away from some tougher topics either.
Not at all. She did a lot of work with people with disabilities.
A wide range of disabilities too, right?
Yes. She looked at intellectual disabilities, motor disabilities, auditory, visual, even stuttering. And what's really interesting is that her findings weren't always what you might expect.
You mean it wasn't just a straightforward case of, like, having a disability equals low self-concept?
Yeah, right. Some of her studies did show that, particularly with certain types of disabilities. But others found no significant difference in self-concept or self-esteem between people with disabilities and those without.
So it really highlights the importance of individual differences, right?
Exactly. We can't just make assumptions based on broad categories. Everyone's experience is unique.
And she also looked at gender differences, didn't she?
Yes, both in general and within those disability groups. It's really fascinating to see how those factors intersect.
It's like peeling back the layers of an onion. Each study reveals another layer of complexity. So we've got self-concept, self-esteem, disability.
Yeah.
Oh, and I can't forget that study on neo-sexism.
Yes, that's a very important one, especially in today's world. Neo-sexism, for those who aren't familiar, is this sort of subtle, modern form of sexism. It can be hard to spot because it often presents itself as positive attitudes.
It's like that saying, with friends like these, who needs enemies?
Exactly. And what Garagordabil found is that even this subtle form of sexism is linked to a lot of negative outcomes. Psychopathology, behavioral problems, low self-concept, poor social skills, the list goes on.
Wow, so it really underscores how even seemingly harmless biases can have a real impact.
It's a powerful reminder that we need to be constantly examining our own biases and working to dismantle those harmful attitudes.
Especially, I imagine, during adolescence. That's such a formative time.
Absolutely. Her research actually showed that boys tended to score higher on measures of neo-sexism than girls, which highlights the need for interventions that promote gender equality early on.
Okay, I want to touch on one more study before we move on. The one on happiness in adolescence.
Ah, yes, a fascinating one. Everyone wants to be happy, right? So she really dug into what contributes to happiness, looking at both risk factors and protective factors. Well, risk factors are things like psychopathology and behavioral problems, things that might hinder happiness. protective factors are things like high self-concept, self-esteem, cooperation, social skills, things that might bolster happiness.
So it's not just about avoiding the bad, but also actively cultivating the good.
Exactly. And what she found was that high self-concept, low depression symptoms, high cooperation, high self-esteem, and low psychoticism were all predictors of happiness in adolescence.
I'm noticing a theme here. Self-esteem seems to be a pretty big deal.
It really does. In fact, her research suggests that self-esteem actually acts as what we call a mediator between happiness and psychopathology.
Okay, I'm going to need you to break that down for me. What does that mean exactly?
Sure. Basically, it means that having high self-esteem can actually buffer you against the negative effects of things like depression or anxiety on your overall happiness. So it's not just that people with high self-esteem are happier, it's that their self-esteem helps protect their happiness even when they're facing challenges.
That's really interesting. Interesting is like having this built-in resilience.
Exactly. And it makes you think, what if we could find ways to boost self-esteem in young people, not just as a treatment, but as a preventative measure? Could we be setting them up for a lifetime of greater happiness?
That's a big question, but it's definitely worth exploring.
It is. And I think Garagorda Beal's research gives us some valuable clues about where to start. It's almost like a superpower, isn't it? Having that strong self-esteem to help you navigate the tough stuff.
It really is. And, you know, it makes you think about her research with people with disabilities in a new light.
Absolutely.
Remembering those findings where some groups didn't show lower self-concept, like you might expect.
Yeah. Fascinating, right?
It really reinforces that individual experience thing.
It does. And for me, it underscores the importance of creating environments that are truly inclusive.
Where everyone can thrive, regardless of their differences.
Precisely.
So we've talked about self-concept, self-esteem, and disability. Let's circle back to that neo-sexism study for a moment.
Yeah, let's. I mean, this topic feels so relevant today, you know?
Totally. It's like we think we've moved past those blatant forms of sexism, but then Garagorda Beal's research is like, hold on a second, there's this whole other layer here.
Right, these subtle biases that are harder to spot.
And the thing that's really striking is that she linked neo-sexism to all these negative outcomes.
Oh, absolutely. It's not just about low self-concept.
Right, we're talking psychopathology, behavioral problems, poor social skills.
And like this ripple effect, you know?
Hmm.
These seemingly small biases can have huge consequences.
It really makes you think about the messages we're sending, even unintentionally.
Yes, and the importance of education, open dialogue, really challenging those ingrained attitudes.
Definitely. And, you know, speaking of challenges,
yeah.
We've been talking about all these potential problems, psychopathology, behavioral issues.
Yeah.
But what about solutions?
That's the exciting part, right?
I mean, you mentioned earlier that boosting self-esteem could actually be a way to prevent some of these negative outcomes.
It's a powerful concept.
It's like instead of just reacting to problems after they arise, what if we could equip people with the tools to be more resilient from the start?
That's exactly what Garagorda Beal's research suggests. Interventions focused on building self-esteem, they can be incredibly valuable.
And that can take many forms, right? It's not a one-size-fits-all approach.
Absolutely. Therapy, mindfulness practices, even things like finding activities that bring you joy, that give you a sense of purpose.
It's about being proactive, taking ownership of your well-being.
And remember, it's never too late to start. No matter where you're at in life, you can always invest in your mental health.
Okay, before we wrap things up, I want to revisit one more thing that really fascinated me about Garagorda Beal's work, her research on happiness.
Yes, the pursuit of happiness, a timeless topic.
She didn't just identify those predictors of happiness, high self-concept, low depression symptoms, all that.
She went deeper. She explored the why behind those connections.
Right, the mechanisms at play, like that finding you explained about self-esteem being a mediator between happiness and psychopathology.
It's worth repeating because it's so crucial. Having that strong sense of self-worth, it doesn't just make you happier overall. It actually acts as a shield against the negative effects of things like depression and anxiety.
It's like having a built-in buffer to protect your happiness, even when life throws curveballs. So important.
It is. And it raises a fascinating possibility. What if we could create interventions specifically designed to boost self-esteem, not just to treat existing problems, but as a preventative measure?
Shifting from a reactive approach to a proactive one. Love that.
It's a paradigm shift, really. And I think Garagorda Beal's work is leading the way. She's showing us that we're not just at the mercy of our genes or our circumstances. We have the power to actively shape our well-being.
Amazing. And it sounds like she's giving us the roadmap to do just that. It's really remarkable, isn't it? How much we can learn from just diving into one researcher's work.
It is. And Garagordabile's research, it covers so much ground. We've talked about her LAEA assessment tool, her work on self-concept and self-esteem.
The links to happiness, psychopathology.
Yeah.
Even those studies on disability and neosexism.
Right. And it all ties back to this idea of understanding ourselves better, understanding how our inner world shapes our experiences.
And ultimately understanding how we can take control of our well-being.
Exactly. So for our listeners out there, what can they take away from all of this? Where did they go from here?
Yeah, what's the takeaway?
Well, I think the first step is self-reflection. Really take some time to think about your own self-concept, your self-esteem. What are your strengths? What are your areas for growth?
It's like Garagordabile is giving us this new lens to look at ourselves through.
Right. And once you have a better understanding of where you're at, you can start thinking about how to build those qualities that contribute to happiness and resilience.
It's like she's giving us a toolkit.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's up to us to use those tools to build a stronger foundation for ourselves.
And remember, it doesn't have to be overwhelming. You don't have to do everything at once.
Start small.
Exactly. Practice gratitude. Set realistic goals. Surround yourself with positive people. Even those small changes can make a big difference over time.
It's a journey, not a destination.
Right? It is. And the most important thing is to be kind to yourself along the way. We all face challenges. We all make mistakes.
Absolutely. Self-compassion is key.
It is. So be patient with yourself. Celebrate your progress and never stop learning and growing.
That's such a great message. And on that note, I think it's time to wrap up this deep dive into the world of Mate Garagordabile.
It's been a pleasure exploring her work with you.
Likewise. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us. We hope you found this exploration insightful and maybe even a little bit inspiring. Until next time, keep seeking those aha moments that make life so rich.